Welcome, friends, to the God Friend of Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friend of Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 218, Almost Famous, comes your way now.
Pete, this is an episode written by Joe Webb and Brian Ford Sullivan, directed by your Series 1 finale director, Gregory Smith. That's right, Pete, the very same Gregory Smith who starred in Everwood on the CW, or rather UPN or WB or one of those. And Pete, you might know Gregory Smith as the teen face from Everwood, who did not go on to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, his two teen fresh-faced stars, of course, being?
I think Chris Evans and was it Brie Larson?
Chris Pratt and Emily Van Camp. I think they were boyfriend-girlfriend, Emily Van Camp and Chris Pratt, and there they are in the MCU now. But back to this show, Pete. Good news, ratings are up a 0.6 rating, that's the same as last week, with 6.4 million viewers, up 400,000 pairs of eyeballs from last week, so the low doldrums of February far behind us as people rightfully staying home and also watching some GFM.
And I think anticipating this show and needing it with everything that's going on, particularly in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, tri-state areas, we are the epicenter of this coronavirus crisis right now, no more so than New York City.
Pete, let's talk the schedule ahead. No new episode next week, then back on April 12th, as well as the following week. Those episodes 219 and 220. To my ears, still no confirmation that episode 220 is the season finale, but we are operating under that assumption.
That was a reasonable inference. We got 20 last year. We'll have to see. Everybody's shut down production in this time of social distancing. So all that awaits is but an official announcement. But what do you say we take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode? Ally update. The doctor needs to talk before more chemo, all while Rakesh, Kara, and Miles stake out the possible DARPA building where the mysterious Corey Smith works. Kara also lets slip she's still hanging out with Adam, but she's got an idea for Corey's mom. At the doctor's office, Tammy Marshall has a new drug trial that might help Ally. There's a possibility of adding her to the list, but it's not a sure thing. If only the account could help. Ding, the account liked a YouTube video. It's from Kylie, a guitar-strumming teen.
At Corey's mom's diner, Kara lays her cards on the table. Mom needs to deliver a message. Meet with Kara at Catapult at 2 p.m. or at 2:01, Kara publishes the article about the code pushed on Miles. Miles and Rakesh go to the old-timey music store where Kylie works. Kylie is ready to help find music, but there's Mom, Tammy Marshall, and she's against her daughter going on tour.
Kylie's manager, Alex, arrives. Sheesh. Parents, they just don't understand. How can the parent-slash-child relationship be fixed? Miles says it'll take something extreme. At Ally's bar, Kara updates Miles and Rakesh about her threat. At the Reverend Finer's office, Marcia Smith arrives, needing to speak about Corey. We're reminded Alphonse Jeffries is his father. She promises Corey isn't behind some account. And if Miles and Kara continue, they're accusing a high-ranking government official.
Miles goes to see Tammy trying to help Kylie. He also sees Tammy getting served. Kylie's suing for emancipation. Miles is trying to help, but the situation is worsening. Later, Miles updates the squad, and Kara suggests Kylie be counseled to talk with her mom. Miles does just that, saying that her mom cares. Indeed, mom cares enough to show up and give the okay to Kylie. The catch, Alex can't be her manager. Later, Miles goes to see Kara. And hey, Adam, But what made Mom change her mind?
Knock, knock. It's a special agent asking questions and prepared to sue on behalf of the Justice Department. But this is an unorthodox way for the government to proceed. Kara suspects the agent's just fishing. At Arthur's home, Miles updates Arthur and Trish with a recap, and Trish recognizes Tammy's late sister, Grace, who had died of a drug overdose. There's a picture of Grace, red-haired and pregnant, 16 years ago. Tammy isn't the mom. Grace is.
Miles tells Tammy, but gets asked again to stay out of it. At Catapult, Adam's back with hot coffee and smoldering good looks. He wants to go further with Kara, but wonders if she doesn't still have feelings for Miles. She doesn't, and kisses Adam. Later, Miles and Rakesh talk. Is Miles holding off so Tammy, one, doesn't get offended, and two, doesn't impact the drug trial? At the hospital, Miles and Allie see Alex, who's back in the managing gig. It turns out Alex leveraged the secret of Kylie's mother. Maybe Miles can come with Tammy to make sure she can tell her daughter.
At the record store, Tammy opens up to Kylie, telling her the truth. Kylie feels angry and alone, and Miles points out that Alex helped create this chaos. Still, Kylie will see Tammy in court. If that happens, they both lose. So why was Tammy lying? Miles gets a flash and runs to the courthouse. Tell her, Tammy. And Tammy does. Grace didn't die until Kylie was two, but left after Kylie was born. She abandoned her child to advance her career. Kylie's still upset, and Miles reminds her that Tammy's been there for her all these years.
Miles notes the two can start over together. On his podcast, Miles reflects on decisions thrust upon us and the fact that decisions can change. Indeed, Kylie's changed her mind on emancipation, but she's strong. She takes after her mom, after Tammy. At the hospital, Tammy's ready to push Allie into the drug test, but her minor heart valve abnormality precludes her. Later, Miles is crushed, feeling tested like Job. Kara's optimistic that talking to Corey will help Allie. Ding, Kara gets a message. Corey's mom wants to meet Kara and Miles. They arrive at the restaurant, and Corey's ready to meet in the back. Is he behind the account?
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, I know how badly Miles wants help from above when it comes to his sister and her illness. So I'm not chastising the show here, but I am prepared to chastise Miles in terms of him wanting so badly to get this quid pro quo. He's done all these things, account. Now, account, can't you help me? I referenced Job in the recap. I mean, surely he knows sometimes you get tested and you don't get the results that you want, even though you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, baked into the nature of this show is the mechanic of the friend suggestion, or, you know, on sparing occasion, we've had the account like something, or, you know, there was I think we've only had like one Facebook marketplace type of situation. But yeah, the reciprocal nature of it, I need a thing, and here it comes in now. And with the addition of the person we now suspect to be behind the account, and how this goes back with DARPA and where the government might be involved, obviously with what we suspect to be two episodes left, you know, one hinge into the next, I'm sure, to find out about what Corey Smith's been up to and what this all means for Miles.
I also do take a little finger wagging, again, not at the show, but I think at the characters. They were so forceful is a bit strong, but they were so direct with Kylie, and it appeared that no adult there could understand why any person would be angry, confused, unable to contain their emotions, unsure how to feel with the revelation that one's mother was actually their aunt and their birth mother had abandoned them. I mean, that's a whole lot to take. Mm-hmm. You didn't factor in the fact that this is a 16-year-old here that is trying to process her way through the world as it is before all this earth-shattering stuff came down. Shame on all those adults for not saying, you know what, you might need to take a minute there, Kylie, to process all this. Instead, go, 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 let's keep things moving.
Yeah, I mean, really the emotional hostage in the middle of all of this. You've got the aunt who's really the mom. You've got the agent. You know, this tug of war. And then you've got Miles, who, you know, a couple of times in this episode, he really gets cast in a light. I mean, first off, him and Rakesh showing up to find a 16-year-old YouTube star is, you know, a little bit of awkward footing to start off their, you know, relationship as far as knowing this girl. And then the couple times throughout the episode of, you know, here comes Miles and Tammy is there and it looks like Miles is trying to cause trouble, when it was really Alex and just the way that things seemed.
Maybe some of that awkwardness was intentional in that, you know, as good-hearted as Miles and Rakesh are, we do have it highlighted in this episode how Miles wants the account to pay him back here. And, you know, maybe in the earlier drafts, the two were connected a bit more, that basically every adult in this episode wants something out of Kylie, whether it's don't pursue your dream or do pursue your dream or pursue your dream in the right way that the account will like. Kind of everybody wants the end result or an end result out of Kylie's passion and her calling here.
Yeah, and when you look at this maternal cover-up that's gone on, and I like the way it was ultimately resolved that there was a situation where the birth mother left her, and obviously drug abuse and addiction and everything there. And then you throw in as well the linkage to the similar type of career. Obviously, Tammy not wanting to see Kylie go down a path similar to that of her birth mother. So wanting to protect her, heart in the right place, but at the same time, not letting the child spread her wings. And the unique problem of our age in that, you know, YouTube, you as we speak on a podcast, Matt, and stand in front of a microphone, that anybody can become a star now, hastening fame and then availability of temptation and everything like that. So it was very intricately constructed. I thought this particular episode, they definitely had an idea for what they wanted to do. And then when you consider we've had a number of episodes in this string, you know, we haven't been consecutive in terms of weeks, but the focus has been, and it should be, squarely on Allie's treatment. And I like, again, what they were able to do here. Oh, there's hopeful trial. You got the thing you needed from the account. You're not eligible for the trial. So in terms of the dramatic presentation, you know, as I said on Twitter last night, they hit us with the uplift, then they hit us with the downshift, then they hit us with the cliffhanger at the end of the episode. So it really stands apart as far as what a God Friended Me episode typically looks like.
Yeah, insofar as the desire of the show is to save presumably some sort of Allie cancer resolution for the last episode or two, I think that this is an episode that let us have her treatment be as a backbone to the story, but then also, you know, again, in the writer's room, away from treating Allie as a real person and just saying, oh man, how do we make great drama for 20 episodes? This was a really well plotted out job to kind of have what essentially is a delaying action for any treatment for her. I will just mention Pete wrapped inside that praise a number of times in this episode. There were people recapping other people about things that happened a few minutes ago. And I know that in reality, you need those things, but this is not real, and I don't need Miles to do 20 seconds explaining something that happened 4 minutes ago, and it happened 4, 5, 6 times in the episode.
Yeah, it was a little heavy on exposition at times, and I think it really showed more so than other episodes of God Frenemy, more of its procedural roots. I mean, we even had the false solve, you know, two acts into the show, in that, wait, you're gonna let Kylie go on the tour, but the agent can't be the agent, and everybody moves forward. You knew the minute that happened it was too soon. I think we saw a little bit of that hand of the writer, as we talk about sometimes. Also, Matt, an awful lot of blackmail in this particular episode.
There was, come to think of it. You have me wondering if maybe series creators Stephen Lillie and Brian Winbrandt, I know they spent some time on Gotham, and then before that on CSI New York. So maybe some of that, you know, some of that crime stuff, and of course Hawaii 5-0. Come to think of it, Alcatraz had bad guys in it too, you know, like really bad people. So maybe some of that, maybe some of those crimes of scripts written in the past kind of came bubbling up here in this more wholesome set of characters.
I mean, you've got Kara blackmailing Corey Smith's mom to get him to show and talk about what he knows. You've got the government agent being turned on Kara and her weathering that. And then you've got Alex's manager in an unrelated situation blackmailing Tammy to get onto representing Kylie. So I had just picked up the thread and tweeted about it, and lo and behold, Matt, series co-creator Stephen Lillian replied to my tweet, "That's good, clean fun, family fun."
It certainly made for an episode where things were very familial, even though there was all this, you know, nefarious behavior going on. Pete, what other theories do you foresee happening to the show?
Kara and Adam, much to my consternation, are more of a thing than ever, and this is going to wreck poor Miles.
It is, and I mean, maybe we are headed, you know, I'll double down on what I said before. Maybe we're headed to this Job-like revelation here that though Miles has seen, you know, friend suggestion after friend suggestion where just find the right way for the goodness to flow and then good things happen. Meanwhile, you know, good things are not happening to him. He's lost the girl. His sister has cancer. She can't get the treatment she needs. Kara's going to the arms of, you know, this hunk here. Maybe we're not going to get that uplift in the next two episodes, at least not for Mile. Maybe this really is the case that as the prophet, it more burden will be given to him at the expense of others being lifted of theirs.
Allie, though she's at the center of this episode with the drug trial, doesn't have as much as she had to do in previous episodes. It's the nature of episodic TV. However, I really think she had a pivotal moment here giving, and we didn't really cover it in the recap, giving advice to Miles that he's got to pursue what the account gives him. He can't not do that just because of her treatment.
Yeah, and I think if nothing else, it would seem increasingly with our reflection that the show is trying to constrain Miles as the prophet, and you must do the bidding of the account, and there is kind of no, the only or else is walk away, know that you're hurting these people who potentially you could help, not build up your points until you can cash in, cash out, and, you know, and move on. For as much as this is a self-contained episode, it does seem that that's the case that's being built here, and this episode an example of, don't try and turn this into something that it's not. Hey, I guess universe or algorithm or whatever, it's just a weird coincidence that this lady who works with Allie's cancer doctor is in need. She's not been put on this path of need because Allie's cancer can be affected by it. At least that's the conclusion of this so far.
And then you have the cliffhanger here, obviously meant to dovetail into the next episode. Well, we've met Corey Smith. Now we're going to learn everything behind him. Will he be the friend suggestion? Will he not? Et cetera, et cetera.
And Corey Smith with a fantastic looking goatee where the mustache doesn't quite touch the side parts. Pete, I've not ever seen quite a goatee as Corey Smith has. That only makes me want to learn more about him next week.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, I think it brought many people a smile for the best of reasons, and for ourselves, maybe a teensy tiny little extra bit of selfish smile in reply to first my tweet, then your tweet about the show and its positive vibes towards New York. Star Javicia Leslie had replied, you know, in affirmation of New York and gave the heart emoji and whatnot. And certainly a nice moment, I think, for all.
Yeah. And again, much needed. And Matt, I don't think I can illustrate that more than what I'm about to read that I found on the God Friend and Me Facebook group that I'm a member of this morning. I am not going to read the name of the person who posted it, but I am going to read her post. And it was done to this group in public. She writes, "Yesterday was one of the worst days of my life. I had my 89-year-old mother removed from the nursing home where she was a resident and sent to our local hospital because she had a severe upper respiratory infection and had spiked a fever. I wanted her tested for COVID-19. She was admitted with congestive heart failure, AFib, pneumonia, and awaiting test results. Mama had never had heart problems before. Doctors always have told her that her heart was healthy. Her test was positive on Thursday, and late Friday/early Saturday, she was put on a ventilator, and she passed away around 4:30 yesterday afternoon. I could not be with her because of this stupid virus and only got to see her before she passed, except through FaceTime. After an exhausting week and day yesterday, I was able to sit down late last night and watch the show on DVR. This show has been the highlight of my Sunday nights, and last night was the only sense of normalcy in my otherwise nightmare. Thank you to the writers of this show."
Wow, that certainly is powerful stuff there. I think it's a reminder that, you know, the nonfiction world that we live in can be challenging at times. And yes, usually most of us like our fiction to be, you know, somewhat relatable. It's not all, you know, dragons and wizards. It's not all soap operas and things like that. This is a fairly realistic show. Or God Friend of Me takes place in a realistic world. Maybe the events are less realistic, but we all need that space, that jump from nonfiction to fiction to just take our troubles off our shoulders for a little while and exist in the world of that fiction.
Yeah, and I think, again, you know, the show serving beyond just the escapism of it, you know, being a highlight in somebody's week and here helping after a terrible loss and a tragic one at that. And I did not want to reach out to the poster and ask her permission to use her name. That's why I read it without her name. But certainly, you know, thinking of her and her late mother and their family in this difficult time.
Yeah, certainly. If nothing else, Pete, I hope that the poster got some of the solace that it appears that they did in watching the show, in having that levity. You know, now show's over for the week, turn to the seriousness of the world, both at large and personally for them. But again, just a little reminder of what fiction can do for us. With that in mind, Pete, how can we keep this conversation going, the God Friend of Me conversation, the conversation about the fiction that brings a little extra oomph to our lives? How can people talk to you on Twitter?
reach out to me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 11,280 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek, all one word, with the P, with the H. Like it today.
Pete, for those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we will be talking the season one wrap of Star Trek Picard this upcoming weekend. Of course, no God Friend Me this time next week on account of the show not being on, but certainly more of that in the future. In the interim, Pete, looking forward to dipping more into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but more about that on the Pop Culture Podcast feed in due course. With that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Music is the art of the prophets and the gift of God.